They say we want our America back, our America back, our America back. When they say they want our America back, what the fuck do they mean? Remember the Garden of Eden? Before Eve hung out with that snake, you could walk down the street, not worry about thieves. All the kids could go trick-or-treating. Then those foreigners started coming in, like those Germans in 1790. Then the Irish arrived, the potato blight. The neighborhood started changing. Life was better, we lived right. Life had a paler shade of white. When they say we want our America back, we want our America back. Before there was Ellis Island and that statue we got from the French, and that whore still alerting the strangers she's flirting, inviting them into our beds. The guineas, the coolies, the wetbacks, the Jews, the gays and the terrorists. And who let in that woman, looks after my kids, and the one who is cleaning my mess. Life was righteous, life was clean. Send them back, including me. When they say we want our America back, our America back, our America back. When they say we want our America back, what the fuck does it mean? Before the gays had the agenda, before the slaves were free, before that man from Kenya took the presidency. We want our America back, our America back, our America back. When they say we want our America back, what the fuck does that mean?
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Your discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, we made it through a long holiday weekend to a Tuesday. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler here on the Progressive Voices Network, streaming also at NicoleSandler.com and other favorite internet stations near you. You know, after a long weekend, it's often hard to get back into the swing of things, especially when much of the media is off as well. It's hard. But I got to tell you, Donald Trump is the gift that keeps on giving. Yesterday, being Memorial Day, of course, he was at Arlington, where he gave a speech. The speech was as inane as pretty much everything else he does. But during the ceremony where they they placed the wreath at the grave of the unknown soldier, all he had to do was stand there and look dignified, and he couldn't even do that. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to play a little video for you. This is Donald Trump during the national anthem. Now, he learned when his wife, Malaria, there poked him once to put his hand over his heart when the national anthem is playing. But nobody told him, you don't have to sing along at a, when there's nobody singing. It's a military band playing and nobody's singing the words. And also, when it's a solemn occasion, you should just stand quietly. So while this is playing, he almost looks like he's reading from the teleprompter the lyrics, and he gets about, I don't know, the second half of every sentence. And then he starts moving around like a fidgety third grader who can't stand still while the national anthem is playing. Really, I mean, the man just can't stand still. It was quite embarrassing. And of course, the Twitters went a little crazy at him. Like one woman, Allie Maynard, writes, "What a fucking clown. It's Arlington Cemetery and he acts like it's opening day." Another one, "This is Arlington, not a rally, just now. It's like whenever the national anthem is playing, Trump hears happy birthday to me." Another one, Jeremy Newberger, "Trump belted the national anthem at Arlington like he was singing a Cher tune in the shower." Another one, Holly O'Reilly, "What is wrong with you? It's Memorial Day. Seriously? At Arlington?" And they went on and on. I mean, there are many of them. "Jesus fucking Christ, watch Trump belt out the national anthem at Arlington like he's at a goddamn baseball game. End this madness now." The man really just, I don't know what's wrong with him, but there's something seriously wrong with him, and it's not only him. You heard the news, I hope, by now, that the White House communications director resigned. Now, not Spicy. That's his spokesman, or press secretary, I think is Spicer's official title. The White House communications secretary was a guy named Mike Dubke, or Dubke, who, I don't know about you, but I'd not heard his name. Maybe it's because he's only been there for 3 months. But he resigned. He tendered his resignation, I guess, during the trip or while Trump was away or right before he left. And then he said he'd stay on to help manage communications during the trip. Wasn't that nice of him? But I guess maybe today was his last day. I don't know, because I can't make this up. This is from the Washington Post. I'm going to read this to you from the Washington Post. The headline reads, "This White House statement on Trump's, quote, positive energy reads like a parody." And that it does. So it's the Washington Post article. I kid you not. "White House spokeswoman Hope Hicks issued a statement about President Trump on Monday that is so disconnected from reality that reads like a parody, like something Saturday Night Live cooked up to mimic propaganda. But let me put, this is funnier than anything Saturday Night Live did this season." Here's the statement. You ready? And this is real. It's not the Borowitz Report. It's not Saturday Night Live. It's not The Onion. This is from the White House Communications Office. You ready? "President Trump has a magnetic personality and exudes positive energy, which is infectious to those around him. He has an unparalleled ability to communicate with people, whether he is speaking to a room of three or an arena of 30,000. He has built great relationships throughout his life and treats everyone with respect." I just read it. "He is brilliant with a great sense of humor and an amazing ability to make people feel special and aspire to be more than they thought possible." Yes, that is a statement put out by the White House today about Donald Trump, let me finish reading the Washington Post article, because if you're like me, you're going, what the fuck? Where did that come from and why? Well, Hicks, what's her name again? Hope Hicks. Hope Hicks composed the statement in response to a Washington Post report on Trump's habit of cutting down staffers with insults. The most jarring thing about her characterization of the president is not the inaccuracy, it's the sudden rejection of Trump's entire political brand. To say that Trump, quote, exudes positive energy is to ignore the whole premise of his campaign. He would not need to make America great again if America were currently great. And Trump made very clear that he believes it is not. When was the last time America was great? NBC's Chuck Todd asked early in the campaign.
I would say that during the administration of Ronald Reagan, you felt proud to be an American, Trump replied. You felt really proud. I don't think since then, to any great extent, people were proud.
Aye. At the GOP convention last summer, Trump declared that
it is finally time for a straightforward assessment of the state of our nation.
His assessment was that the country is in crisis in virtually every way.
Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
You remember that one, right? So anyway, it goes on like that. But really, that's the statement that the White House releases. President Trump has a magnetic personality and exudes positive energy, which is infectious to those around him. I'm not kidding. I gotta share this other thing with you. I had completely forgotten about. but there's another email I got from listener Bruce, who I believe is a truck driver. And let me find this real quickly, because it's a series, I guess, that Fox so-called news has put out. Oh, here it is. Okay. And the subject line was, I shit you not, from listener Bruce. The headline reads, Trumping Your Life, How to Be a Better, Stronger Person by Being More Like the President. I hope you're sitting down, because this is really good advice. From Fox, this is the second of five installments I plan to share. If you take this Trump-inspired self-help seriously, I believe it will significantly improve your existence. As a reminder, these were the first three ways to begin trumping your life. I'm only going to share the three with you, so you don't have to... I mean, if you've got the barf bag nearby, that's okay, but don't worry, it won't go on very long. Number one, don't let anyone tell you you're not good enough to work toward any goal. Just don't forget the work. Number two, don't mimic your competitors. Have the courage to be authentic. Okay. And number three, let yourself be righteously angry when people take you for a weakling, a fool, or a fraud. Well, that's the one Trump really relies on, letting himself be righteously angry or irreligiously angry when people take him for a weakling, a fool, or a fraud, which we do all the time. It's really, seriously, that's the kind of stuff Fox is putting out. Oh, my God. All right. There's more. There's a lot of stuff out here today. A lot happened over the weekend. I'm just going to wait for God to laugh to go through it. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick break and we'll check out what's news, and we'll come back on the other side with God to Laugh next, because it's Tuesday with Laffy right here on the Nicole Sandler Show, NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
You look at the president's actions. You look at the gestures.
The ugly
You
American.
Looked at the bullying of him pushing the newest member out of the way to get in the front of picture. You look at that awkward handshake with Macron. But more importantly, you have Angela Merkel and her opponent saying America treated us horribly. We can no longer depend on the United States of America. And Europe's going to have to worry about itself. If somebody can find a more disastrous foreign trip since Kennedy's 1961 summit with Khrushchev, I'd like to know what it was, because this was a disaster.
Joe Scarborough on MSNBC Tuesday morning as Americans head back to work after the long Memorial Day weekend. And the fallout from Donald Trump's first overseas trip as president is coming from all supporters, perhaps most strongly from Angela Merkel. At a campaign event back home in Germany after the G7 summit, the German chancellor said, quote, "The times in which we can fully count on others are somewhat over, as I have experienced in the past few days. And that is why I can only say we Europeans must really take our destiny into our own hands, of course, in friendship with the United States and friendship with Great Britain, with good neighborly relations wherever possible, also with Russia and other countries. But we have to know that we have to fight for our future and our fate as Europeans, and that is what I would like to do together with you." Merkel's comments, echoed by her chief campaign rival, came after Mr. Trump said he needed more time to decide if the U.S. would continue backing the Paris climate deal, which has frustrated European diplomats. As for the climate deal, Trump tweeted,
"I will make my final decision on the Paris Accord next week."
In the official dispatch from the G7, which all countries typically sign on to, the U.S. did not join the climate section. The document stated while the leaders of Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the United Kingdom, and the presidents of the European Council and of the European Commission are reaffirming their commitment to the Paris Agreement, the U.S., quote, "is in the process of reviewing its policies on climate change and on the Paris Agreement, and thus is not in a position to join the consensus on these topics." Shake it up. The new president of France, Emmanuel Macron, has commented on his now infamous handshake with Donald Trump. According to the Associated Press, Macron noted that the handshake was a, quote, "moment of truth," and, quote, "it wasn't innocent. One must show that you won't make small concessions, even symbolic ones, but also not over-publicize things either." During the meeting, Trump denied that he supported Macron's opponent, Marine Le Pen, during the recent French election, claiming Macron was his guy. What we remember, though, are Trump's complimentary remarks about Le Pen prior to the election. Back at home, Mike Dubke, the White House communications director, has resigned in what could be the start of a series of changes to Trump's senior staff. A senior administration official confirmed that Dubke, who has been in the post for only 3 months, resigned on May 18th. He offered to stay on to help manage communications back home in Washington during Trump's foreign trip, and the president accepted. It was Friday afternoon, heading into the long Memorial Day weekend, when the Washington Post reported that the first son-in-law, Jared Kushner, allegedly suggested setting up a secret communications channel with Moscow using Russia's secure equipment inside the Russian embassy.
The New York Times reporting this morning, Jared Kushner was looking for a, quote, "direct line to Vladimir Putin" back in December during the transition. Mr. Trump telling the Times earlier this week he has total confidence in his son-in-law. The Washington Post reporting Kushner asked about using Russian diplomatic facilities to shield the back-channel communications from U.S. surveillance. NBC News was first to report the 36-year-old political newcomer is under FBI scrutiny in its Russia investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, though he's not a target of the inquiry. Mr. Trump writing, "Jared is doing a great job for the country. He is respected by virtually everyone," adding, "he is a very good person."
John McCain weighed in on the latest allegations in an Australian television interview.
"I don't think it's standard procedure prior to the inauguration of a president of the United States by someone who is not in an appointed position."
CNN reporting Tuesday morning on more chatter from the Russians about how they could potentially influence Trump and his top aides.
"Two former intelligence officials and a congressional source tell my colleagues and I that Russian government officials discuss having potentially derogatory information about then presidential candidate Donald Trump and some of his top aides. This in conversations intercepted by U.S. intelligence during the 2016 election. One source described the information as financial in nature and said the discussion centered around whether the Russians had leverage with Trump's inner circle. The source says the intercepted communication suggested to U.S. intelligence that Russians believe they had the ability to influence the administration through the derogatory information."
In yet another sickening move, the Washington Post reports Tuesday morning that the Trump administration is planning to disband the Labor Department division that has policed discrimination among federal contractors for four decades, part of wider efforts to rein in government programs that promote civil rights. And finally, in a too little too late moment, a Monday morning tweet from the @POTUS Twitter account, chiefly run by staff and with millions fewer followers than Trump's personal account, read, quote, "The violent attacks in Portland on Friday are unacceptable. The victims were standing up to hate and intolerance. Our prayers are with them." I got good. If you appreciate our What's News reports, I hope you'll consider a contribution. The Nicole Sandler Show and What's News are 100% listener supported, and we really can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
All right, we're going to try this way again. We tested it. It worked earlier. So, hello.
Yes, you've reached the Jared Kushner's terrible, horrible, no good, very bad, weak hotline.
I was looking for that number. Glad I found it.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we dialed you instead. Press 1 if you think Jared, looking for secret back channels with Russia, gives new meaning to the phrase channel surfing.
Yeah.
Press 2. I could hear that.
Yay.
Press 2 if you think Jared's secret plan to reserve a spot at the Russian consulate gives new meaning to the words embassy suites.
Yeah.
Press 3 if you think Jared's saying he's eager to cooperate with investigators gives new meaning to the phrase limited partnership. Have a nice day.
Yes. Yes. I thought we're not commenting on Jared.
We're not commenting on Jared. What
isn't
happened?
That, isn't that what they say? I thought that was that was their line. We're not commenting on Jared.
Right. They say that and then they comment on Jared. They claim in some, I think it was Washington Post, I don't remember, but that he claimed he's eager to cooperate. He's been saying that he's eager to cooperate. But as far as today's little White House lying session, it was a bunch of nothing. As Sam Stein tweeted, Sean won't comment on Jared, can't answer about Trump's healthcare tweet, hasn't asked POTUS about climate change, and so on. Today was a bunch of Trumpies, Spiceries, nothingies, whatever.
So here's the thing. So Spicy was back behind the podium today because we had been told before the big trip, the magical misery tour, that that you know, when they got back, Spicy really wasn't going to be doing those. Maybe Sarah would be doing them, or maybe they wouldn't do them at all, or they'd do them in writing. Or so today it was business as usual, meaning they didn't answer anything, and anything they did say was a lie.
It started out within 10 seconds, within 10 seconds of about a 10-minute filibuster that Spicy gave so he could fill up his time and then he could run away more quickly, he started out saying what a success the trip had been and how he's now strengthened his alliances overseas.
Oh my God!
Can you believe that?
Oh my God! You did hear Angela Merkel's actual quote during What's News. I mean, we had heard a lot of paraphrasing of it, but yeah, she said wait, the exact quote. Hold on, let me scroll down and I'll say it again. I mean, it's not our friends. They're not happy. What did she say?
Right.
I lost it now.
Pretty much we can do without you.
We Europeans must really take our destiny into our own hands. We have to fight for our future and our fate as Europeans. And she did say that we can't count on the United States or the UK anymore. Not exactly a ringing endorsement. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get what he's not seeing here, because without their support and Europe's support, and everybody's sort of, you know, trusting each other as much as we can trust each other, it's really going to be hard to keep things peaceful and prosperous. That's why there's a NATO, because we all kind of support each other. When something goes wrong with one, we all jump to, you know, and collectively help protect that one.
Well, that's what Article 5 says. And one of the things that you do at these such events is you certify, you know, that this is what we're in this together. We're yeah. here to reaffirm Article 5, and Trump did not do that. Instead, he scolded them and said, "You owe us money."
Right. And back to the White House lying session, Eric Geller, who is he works for Politico, he said the White House press secretary is literally being asked about the president retweeting a defense of an incident the White House won't acknowledge. That should tell you how that White House lying session went. And our friend Digby quotes Spicer, "You were assuming facts that have not been confirmed." And then they go, "Well, are you denying it?" Quote, "I think it's just what I just said speaks for itself." So they're giving a bunch of non-answers, non-denials to a bunch of good questions, because they are backed into a corner every hour that goes by. Every time a new story breaks, they have to come up with more non-answers. It's like, who was the guy in Iraq who used to give the happy talk? Oh, my God. During the Iraq war, there was an Iraqi who used to get up. Baghdad Bob.
Oh, okay.
He used to get up behind the mics and say, "Everything's fine. We're doing great." You know, that's what this has come to.
Dan Lavoie, who's the speechwriter for Attorney General Eric Schneiderman in New York, tweeted out, "Oh, shit. And I just hung up on Laffy. I didn't mean to do that. The questions at this briefing are all wrong. Stop asking for clarification / explanations of Trump's tweets. Yes, no, factual questions only." I'm sorry. Who is this on the line?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
In Arizona.
Hi, Barbara in Arizona. You know, I saw you called in, and I was going to punch you in to, along with Gotta Laugh. Hold on, I'm going to bring her back on. Laffy, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hang up on you. We have Barbara on the line from Arizona, and I mistakenly punched her in without adding her to the call. Laffy, you there? Or maybe she's not. Damn it. Hi, Barbara. Okay, what's on your mind? And then I'll get Laffy back. Now I hung up on Barbara, too. Barbara, you not there anymore? Barbara? All right, I really suck. I tried to fix things with the phones, and I just made it worse. So we had Barbara from Arizona. I disconnected her when I tried to bring Gotta Laugh back, and now I lost both of them. So Gotta Laugh, you call me back, because the connection is so much better for whatever reason when you call me. So hopefully she'll call back in a moment. And that's Barbara calling back. You know what? Gotta Laugh is with us on Tuesdays. I'm waiting for Laffy to call back in. I'm going to call her. No. All right, I'm going to try this again because I keep losing her. It's such good radio, isn't it? Oh, it looks like she called back and got voicemail.
Okay,
there you are. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I tried calling you on Skype and nothing happened, and I was dialing you on my cell phone, and then I saw you were calling me back on
yes.
Skype.
Yes. No, I punched you in. Barbara called from Arizona. I was trying to bring her in with us, and somehow I screwed everything up. So I'm sorry, Barbara.
Okay.
If you want to try calling back in, we can try it again. But anyway, I don't know if you heard what I said. So Dan Lavoie, who's the speechwriter for Eric Schneiderman, who's the Attorney General of New York, tweeted out, "The questions at this briefing are all wrong. Stop asking for clarifications, explanations of Trump's tweets. Yes, no, factual questions only."
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The tweets are a distraction. They're just propaganda tweets, and they take everybody in a certain direction. And yes, we need to concentrate on trying to get hard answers to hard questions. And if he can't answer a hard question, then that right there speaks volumes. So yes, that's absolutely correct.
Okay, I think we have Barbara from Arizona back with us now. Barbara, you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
Yay! Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Okay, here's my take.
Yes.
On this. It's rhetoric. We have them saying, giving a statement that they have strengthened their connections, but they strengthened their connections with Russia. Those are their overseas allies,
and
not NATO,
and with
and
Saudi Arabia,
vulnerable. The NATO countries, including the Scandinavian countries that are part of Europe, to being attacked by Russia, who has troops now, I think, on the border of Norway, whichever country.
Oh my God!
Is, the Russians have troops sitting there, so it's not being told. But this is actually super dangerous, because if America doesn't support militarily a Russian invasion into Northern Europe, it's very scary.
That's
and
frightening.
Those are their allies. They're strengthening that.
Right.
You know.
And Barbara, not only Russia, but Saudi Arabia and you know, that's who Trump was all deferential to. That's who he was totally courteous to, wouldn't scold them, wouldn't dare to lecture them. But he goes to Europe and lectures our actual allies.
Well, he's also rude to them when they come over here.
That's true.
You know, so it's he's obviously trying to break NATO apart and keep us from using our forces to keep Russia from invading or doing, you know, causing some kind of, and also the Baltics, you know, Estonia, those countries are vulnerable if we are not going to stand up with NATO in that kind of scenario, which is what Putin wants.
This is,
you know, exactly.
He strengthens his ally.
Even if none of the allegations of collusion are true, that what you just said, and the fact that they're, as you said, moving troops here and there, and Trump is only praising Russia or keeping silent on Russia and bad-mouthing everybody else, right there is all Russia needs. I mean, if the collusion behind the scenes is baseless, and maybe there's some innocent explanation, although I can't figure out what it is yet.
Obviously.
But what we're seeing in front of our own eyes, what's happening, what is existing right now, forget all the, you know, the speculating and suppositions, what we're seeing happening right now is pretty much what we need. I mean, to understand where his heart lies or where his, you know, alliances lie. So there you go. I mean,
Barbara.
He loves his Putin.
Good point.
I mean, they talk in code. I mean, he uses white power symbols when he discusses things. He does this like little okay sign. That's actually white power.
That's what that is. I thought that's just a tick of his.
I did too. I thought it was just a tick. A
TikTok. No, it's a subvert. It's an active. It's W, and the O is actually a P. It's white power. They use it.
Oh my God.
Arizona to find these things.
Where in Arizona are you?
Well, I used to be in Cape Grim near Phoenix.
Okay. All right. Are you listening on Progressive
Voices?
We've
been online together before, Nicole. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, Barbara. It's nice to hear from you. I appreciate it. And really good point. It's scary times, Laffy.
You know, oh, I know.
I was telling you off the air. I didn't get to it before the show, but I'll bring it up now because it's disturbing to me. I tried to watch the show, The Handmaid's Tale. It's on Hulu, and it's with Elizabeth Moss, who, you know, God, I remember her from The West Wing. She was President Bartlett's daughter.
She was the daughter. Yeah.
And Mad Men. And this, you know, she's just brilliant in this show. I've watched now three episodes, and I finally... It made me uneasy at a time when I'm already uneasy. So for those who don't know the story, it's set in a dystopian future of what used to be, I guess, the United States. At first, I was thinking because of the way they're all dressed, I thought it was set in the past. But no, because they talk like we talk. And throughout the show, they have flashbacks to before this... coup happened. I guess it was a coup. I haven't gotten far enough into it to find the whole backstory, but apparently there was, you know, there was this very sort of Sharia Christian movement that took over the nation, and all of a sudden, I don't know if there was an election or a coup or what happened, but all of a sudden, women lost all their power. They lost their money. ownership of anything. And then some women were taken. Francie in the chat room is saying reading the book was enough for me, and I haven't read the book, and now I don't want to, and I can't watch it anymore. Because now women, the role that Elizabeth Moss has, she is a handmaid. What her role is to help wealthy couples or powerful wealthy couples to have children, because women aren't making babies anymore. And so they have these ceremonies where the wife sits and the handmaid is like lying between her legs. So her head is basically in the wife's lap, and the husband has intercourse with her. And that's the ceremony. So I guess they're all in it together. And these women are just there to procreate, to make babies for the wealthy, powerful couples. Women have no rights, can't own anything. I mean, and I'm telling you, I get so tense and freaked out when I watch it. I mean, it got great reviews and I can see why, but I can't watch this show anymore. Because
yeah,
it's hitting too close.
I totally understand that. It real life is so disturbing right now that to watch a recreation of real life only worse. Why do I want to put myself through that?
Yeah. If I'm going to watch something, Master of None, Vermont Gina in the chat room says Master of None works for me at the moment. You know what? Please do send me suggestions on like Netflix or Hulu kind of shows to watch, because I need something uplifting. Life is too depressing as it is that I can. It doesn't matter how, you know, the great reviews that The Handmaid's Tale is getting. And I know it's based on a great book. If times were better, perhaps it's something the science fiction-y dystopian future kind of madness I might enjoy, but now I can't take it.
Right, it's too real. You can actually imagine something similar happening here, which was unimaginable not that long ago.
That's right.
So I totally get that.
And the flashbacks, I mean, I did see a scene, and in one of the last scenes that I watched was a flashback to when Elizabeth Moss went to buy coffee for herself and her friend, and she couldn't use her ATM card. It wouldn't go through. And she's like, that's weird. I just deposited my paycheck yesterday. And they're like, can't help you, sluts. The guy at the coffee shop called the women sluts. And it's like, okay, this is just, I can't
do
it.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
not my cup of tea these days. I'm having enough trouble just getting through the day as is. I don't need to be made more miserable. So, you want to do tweet spot? Because I also added some more.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let me get my sound together. Here we go.
Get your tweets.
I got my tweets.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
That part always makes me smile. So
me too. I love that. Okay, so I'm going to start with one that I didn't get to. I wish I had sent it to you, but you'll know immediately.
Okay.
Chuck Woolery tweeted yesterday.
Oh my God! I'm so glad you brought this up because it gets worse.
It just gets worse. I think I may even have some follow-ups. I don't remember, but I looked. Somebody retweeted him with a comment, and I'm like, oh, I got to see what this is about. And then I looked, and he had blocked me.
Chuck Woolery blocked you. Now, was he the dating game or love? He was Love Connection. You know, they're bringing back the Love Connection.
Yeah, I know. In fact, a friend of Mr. Laffey's works on it. So he's going to be forced to watch it now. But he promised me he'd watch it while I'm asleep. So, but anyway, Chuck Woolery tweeted, and this is the only one I bothered to look at, although our friend Kagro X had some good answers and somebody else had some good comebacks too. But the tweet is, believe it or not, Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin were both Jewish. I was shocked to find most of the original Soviet communists were Jewish.
Oh my God. Okay,
yes.
Well, it gets better from there. Hold on. I'm going to bring him up on this computer.
Oh, please do. And somebody tweeted back to him, so is Jesus.
That's funny. I tried to put in Chuck and it came out Cuck.
Cuck Woolery. There
Cuck
you go.
Cuck Woolery. Okay. And it goes on and on. There's a million of them here. Okay, because the one I saw was the one, well, Bernie Sanders was Jewish too. All right. Then he's right. There appears to be confusion regarding my remarks about Marx and Lenin having Jewish roots. Make no mistake about this. I stand with Israel.
He actually wrote that. Yes. Then he said, can't get my head around being pro-Israel and being called an anti-Semite just for pointing out historical facts. Not my fault. It's history.
Right.
Then he says, Frederick Engels, Karl Marx's buddy, was a Protestant who became an atheist. Ultimately, you would have to be an atheist, Jewish or Protestant. Okay, I'm not quite sure where that came from. Then there's more. Lenin's mother was Jewish, fact. So I'll ask you, was he Jewish or not, beside the fact that he was also an atheist? America was founded on Christian principles. It's why the left hates it so much. Freedom to choose is a Christian principle. Okay.
I'm trying to find LOL GOP's retort, because, and I retweeted it, so I'm scrolling as you talk, because it was really good.
And I'm trying to find the thing where he mentioned Bernie Sanders. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the tweets that you read were quoted by Matthew Gaetz, who right now I don't know who he is. Oh, he's the Media Matters. And he said, this is going well. And then LOL GOP tweeted back, can't wait for Chuck Woolery's new show, Jew Connection, where he connects Judaism to things he despises and then says, but I stand with Israel. That was so awesome. Speaking of Twitter, just off topic, just for a little bit, but apparently Trump's Twitter account bought a ton of fake accounts.
I saw that. All of a sudden, he got like 3 million more followers, and they're all like they're bots. You can tell they're bots, and they're all retweeting like the same stuff that's fake. Right. That's fake news.
Right. So he's buying himself propaganda on Twitter, which is exactly what the Russians did during the election.
Oh, that's right. They did.
That's right. So I'm wondering whether they helped him with this, whether, you know, they told him who to go to, or whether they bought them for him, or who knows. But yeah, that circulated just before I came on, so I thought I'd share that. But okay, let's talk about Ivanka Trump.
Oh boy. Okay.
Here's what she tweeted on Memorial Day. Make champagne popsicles this Memorial Day, she said.
Unbelievable. To which
Can you believe this? Nell Scovell, who is a TV writer and director, has created some major shows on TV. What a perfect way to honor those who gave their lives defending our country.
Well, it's
making
like her,
champagne popsicles.
Like her idiot father, you know, singing along and bopping along to the national anthem at Arlington Cemetery.
That was insane. I mean, he looked like an idiot.
Yes.
Just even if it were appropriate, even if this was the time to sing,
he still looked like a total idiot. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, swaying and kind of moving and fidgeting, and then he got about half the words out, and he was trying to form his mouth, and he'd have to wait till the words were already, he just couldn't do it. So, it was a disaster.
Yep.
All right, I hope I pronounced
Michael
properly.
It's Michael.
Mikkel?
It's Michael.
Is it Michael?
It's just Michael.
Michael Gillette?
Yep, M-I-K-E-L. Okay. It's just an odd spelling of Michael.
Okay. And he's in an indie rock band called the Airborne Toxic Event.
Yeah,
and he's really good. I love his tweets. And he was commenting on a Richard Painter, who is George W. Bush's ethics lawyer back when.
The one who speaks oddly.
He's good
on TV, but he's got a weird vocal affectation that's hard to sometimes get past, but he has a lot of good stuff to say, so it's worth
he does it's past. Funny that you said that, because whenever he comes on, Mr. Laffy and I just kind of crack up because of the way he speaks. He just you wait for him to speak because of that. But anyway, Painter tweeted out, the most powerful weapon in our arsenal against subversion terrified Hitler, Stalin, and many other aggressors. It's called a newspaper. And Michael Gillette said, this is why Trump attacks the press every day, because the press is pretty much all we're getting right now.
Yep.
Without the press, we wouldn't have heard a thing about Jared Kushner, you know, about anything. But because they're digging around, and because we have some good leakers, that's how we're finding out. Now, you know, Trump loves to attack leakers. And yes, you know, some of the leaking, I'm sure, is illegal, I guess. But they're also called whistleblowers. And when you have a whistleblower, you find out truth that you need to hear.
Right. I don't know if you heard when I had John Kiriakou on Friday.
I asked him
that question, like, what's the difference between a leaker and a whistleblower? And he said, well,
oh, what did he say?
It was a longer answer that I'm not going to paraphrase well. But basically, he said, well, usually leakers are giving out information they're really not supposed to give out. It's about disseminating information. Whistleblowers are blowing the whistle on wrongdoing in the government or the workplace. But when I did bring up the what's coming out of the White House now, I said, but it could be that, you know, these are people who are just surrounded by all this crap, and they think it's that's the patriotic thing to do, to get this information right out there, because the American people need to know. And he definitely agreed.
Oh, good. That's what I thought too. I mean, what you see with these multiple sources that New York Times and Washington Post keep citing, 7 to 30 sources on any given story.
Yes.
So you have multiple.
Yep. Now, we don't carry the talk radio news, talk media news reports every day anymore, because the show's only an hour long these days. But I still get Victoria Jones. She does this quick morning news update, which it's a great roundup of the day's news. And sometimes she'll interject comments in there, like this one from today that I just got to share with you. She wrote, I'm not the only one saying this, but the White House insists on anonymity when briefing reporters a heck of a lot of the time for no reason that any of us can see. We're not talking secret sources. We're talking briefings where everyone knows who from the White House is talking, but we're not allowed to say. It's a SAO, senior administration official. Is that fake news too?
Right, exactly. And today, Trump tweeted something out. You may have it. I didn't bother. But he tweeted out something, you know, attacking these anonymous sources as fake news, as he cited an anonymous source.
Yes. No, I saw that. He does. He cites anonymous sources all the time. As Victoria said in that comment, his office puts themselves out there as anonymous sources. So it's only real if they say it. If it's not real, if it comes from somebody else.
Oh no! I mean, it's so hypocritical. And meanwhile, the sources that the newspapers that I was referring to, the ones that are leaking are current and former officials at the White House. Current.
Yep.
So, you know, they don't like them.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Meanwhile, oh, you know what? I'm glad.
Here's the one you're talking about. So Trump retweets Fox and Friends. Fox and Friends tweeted out, Jared Kushner didn't suggest Russian communications channel in a meeting. Source says.
Yes.
What source? Now, I didn't click through to the Fox thing because
I didn't either.
I physically can't do it. My hand will. It just won't click on that link. But really, a source says. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. It's so hypocritical. It's ridiculous. And Spicer got all steamed up about that, by the way, when he was called out on that.
Really?
Crystal Ball and I have been DMing lately. Remember Crystal Ball?
I sure do.
Yeah. And as Trumantown in the chat room said, did you see Crystal Ball gave kind of middle finger to Joanne Reed? That's not quite what she did. What Crystal Ball was saying, and I may get this wrong, because I came in at the end of this conversation she had on Joy Reid's show, she was saying that she and a group are getting together a PAC that is supporting candidates for people in states that didn't vote Democratic who are seeing people like Nancy Pelosi as, you know, getting big donations from the wrong places and the wrong branding for the Democratic Party. So they're trying to get to fix this and change that away from bad big donor branding type of thing, you know, the Nancy Pelosi type, and swing it away into a different direction. And Joy Reid took it as attacking Nancy Pelosi, and Crystal Ball was saying, no, but by that time, Joy Reid had talked over her a little bit, so there was a mishmash, and Joy couldn't hear what Crystal Ball was saying, but she was saying, no, I'm not attacking Nancy Pelosi. I'm saying the branding is bad for us, and so we're trying to adjust that and get away from that so that people like Nancy Pelosi can continue doing what they do.
Right.
But so can we. You know, we've got to move in different directions here. And I'm not explaining it well at all. And Crystal gave me a link to something today that I put out, and I got immediate blowback from Democrats thinking, because of the title of the article, that I did change in my headline, saying it was anti-Pelosi. That's not quite what it was.
Yeah, but you know what? If it is, then so be it. Look, Nancy Pelosi.
Oh no, right.
In
totally,
her day,
right.
was a good progressive, and lately she's not been great. It's funny. The guest that I get the most feedback on, that varies the widest, is Howie Klein. You know, some people love him. I adore Howie.
I do too.
But some people who like him say, "What? But he's so negative about Democrats." Yeah, no. He's negative about Democrats who vote the wrong way, or who take money from the wrong people, or the kind of Democrats that we'd probably be better off without. I'm not saying Nancy Pelosi is that, but there are times that she is that. Look, she's already doing what she did however many years ago it was, when she said impeachment is off the table before she even becomes speaker.
Well, Crystal's point also was, we haven't been winning seats in the last few elections.
No, we haven't.
And so they're trying to fix that. And, you know, and people are saying Pelosi did this, that, and the other, you know, some good things. And Crystal's answer was, yes, but we haven't been winning elections, so something has to change.
Mm-hmm.
So people are interpreting that.
Was that the whole thing about the Democrats need a new rebranding?
That was my
That was
quote,
your
that I,
quote. Yeah. Ah, okay. Well, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Maybe I can find it while you're talking. Because I did put it. Oh, now I can't. It's way before.
That's okay.
You know what I can do? I can go to my direct messages, because she sent me the article.
Oh,
here.
Okay.
My headline was, "Tired of losing Rust Belt, new Democratic group boosts candidates who may lack financing needed to draw help from national Democrats." The actual title of the article, "Tired of losing the Rust Belt, a new Democratic group has strategy to un-Pelosi the party," which is a different, you know, the whole article tended to be slightly negative while trying to state facts. And it was in Vox.
I saw it. I did see it there. I think I must have followed your link. Well, here's, you know, Howie Klein put out two tweets back to back. The first one said, "If you knew a candidate was heavily backed by Pelosi, would you be more or less likely to back them?" And he followed that with, "If you knew a candidate was heavily backed by Ryan, would you be more or less likely to back them?" Good questions, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but that's important. But back to tweets, because there's so much to talk about.
And
I would love to, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Okay. So here's this is a long, like a paragraph. Elizabeth Spire or Spear, I don't know how to say her name. She's the founding editor of the New York Observer.
Okay. I thought that was Jared Kushner. Or his family bought it or something. There is something to do with the Observer.
Yeah, he owned it. In her bio, she says founding editor.
Got it.
And she says, this is my response to... this is good news. A federal appeals court ruled in favor of a transgender student fighting to be able to use the boys' restroom. That's good.
Nice.
All right. That just came across. And she says, this is my response to a right-wing blogger who called me a kook and a loser for stating that Donald Trump is a liar / water is wet. And then she posted something that she wrote.
Okay.
"Let me tell you a story, Doug. My opinion about Trump is formed by, among other things, actual real-life interaction, the family, and I think it meant with the family,
family,
and having covered the business he's in, where he was such a notorious liar that a friend of his once said of him, quote, 'He'd lie to you about what time of day it is just for the practice,' unquote. And that was a friend. So when I was the editor of the New York Observer and Jared Kushner and I were going back and forth about how the paper should cover him, I told Jared that I was particularly appalled by his father-in-law's birtherism stance, which I viewed as cynical and racist. He rolled his eyes." Jared Kushner rolled his eyes and said, quote from Jared Kushner, "He doesn't really believe it, Elizabeth. He just knows Republicans are stupid and they'll buy it," unquote. And sadly, he was apparently right. But let's be clear. He was talking about you, Doug. Trump did not con Democrats. He conned and is still conning his base. So you have every right to your gullibility, and I won't try to deprive you of it. But personally, I'd rather know what the hell is going on, which I thought was such a cool thing to say.
It is, but it's even more disturbing that this guy, first of all, we know what a good liar he is, very practiced, and this is one thing he excels at, is lying. He's one of those, and I worked with somebody like that once, and I used to say he lies so much that he believes his lies. He gets to the point where he's said it so many times that he's come to believe these things that he's saying. That's really, really scary. I do think that he's now believing his own bullshit, which is... When you have somebody in the White House, in the Oval Office, who believes the bullshit that he's been spewing now for years that he learned on Fox, we're in a really tenuous position here.
Oh, yeah. No, it's bad what's been going on. Just scary as hell. I'm going to skip the one of the Texas Observer one for a minute and go on to a couple of tweets here. Richard Engel tweeted just a little bit ago, U.S. Intel officials tell NBC News Germany communicated, "We got this. We don't need your help," rejecting U.S. help to monitor their election. That's where we are with Germany right now.
Say that again? Germany did.
Germany communicated. Germany's told the United States, "Back off. We don't need your help with monitoring their elections." They don't trust us.
I wouldn't either. Look, exactly. We're a nation that needs, you remember, I had a back and forth with Jimmy Carter's grandson asking him what would it take to get the Carter Center to monitor U.S. elections.
I remember.
Right? And he said, "Our election system is so," I'm paraphrasing, "so fucked up that, you know, we have different systems within a state, you know, from county to county, it differs." And we're so off, you know, the regulatory basis that they need to monitor election. We're just so far gone that they wouldn't even think of coming in here, which is really disturbing.
Blah. All right. Then, there's an article at CNN today. Trump is lonely and angry and not happy with anyone. And he's like all, you know, sad.
Yes.
and that causes him to be worse and worse and worse and do all the things he's doing. And also in that article, it did mention that the lawyer that he just hired, his longtime lawyer, whose name I can't remember offhand, he actually will be supervising the Trump-Russia defense. He'll be like a Trump whisperer.
Oh, great. You know, wasn't there supposed to also be somebody monitoring Trump's Twitter usage? Meanwhile, he's been on this Twitter tirade today and yesterday. He's gone nonstop.
That's not existent. You know, that's one of those things they probably said, yeah, we'll probably get so-and-so to really, you know, clamp down. But he locks himself in a room. That's what he does when people are asleep or they're not around.
Right.
He goes into a room and he starts getting crazy because he starts feeding off his own negative bile, you know, and then he just starts believing his own thoughts, like you were saying. So it's creepy. Another thing, a little news item, was that Trump's lawyer, his personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, got an invitation to provide information and testimony that pertains to the Russia investigation to the House and Senate Intelligence Committee. This is from CNN. And, well, he won't cooperate. He says no.
Go figure. Go figure.
That's just crazy. And then here's one. This is about this, about Michael Cohen. Eric Garland, who is a strategic intel analyst, said about Cohen, "Oh, you mean the guy who sells U.S. real estate to Ukrainians and Russians and whose pro-Putin father-in-law just died suspiciously? Oh, yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so corrupt. It's
If there's nothing to the whole Russia story, and I believe that when there's that much smoke, there's usually fire, that there is some there. What it is, I don't know, because honestly, it makes my head explode. I mean, there's just so much going on. But if there's nothing there, there's so much coincidence going on. I mean, what is all these Russian connections?
I think it boils down to financial help and financial what he owes the Russians and what they've done for him as a result and what he does for them as a result. So I think it all boils down to his tax returns and financial statements that they're going to eventually dig up, and something will pop there, I think.
I think you're right. Hey, Laffy, we made it through almost our entire time without one single dropout today.
You know why? You know what I think it was?
Why?
I turned off my VPN during our discussion.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I
bet
think that
that's
might
it. I forgot you have a VPN. I'm sure that's it. Okay, from now on Tuesdays, the VPN has to be off.
I will turn it off.
Okay. Now, I'm going to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow, Dave Johnson's going to join in because we're going to talk a little bit about trade with Germany. And other things, too. But Dave now is at the Center for Media and Democracy. So I'm excited for him for that. Anyway, cool. He'll be here tomorrow. Thursday and Friday, I'm off for some tests. So we're going to run on Progressive Voices, Leslie Marshall. And I'm just going to be off those 2 days. So it'll be an abbreviated week. And then I'll be back with Laffy again next Tuesday.
Well, good luck with the tests.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right. Gotta Laugh. Yeah. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and at Laffy'sPlace.com. Also at Laffy'sPlace at NicoleSandler.com. Thanks, Gotta Laugh. I'll talk
to you
later.
Too.
All right.
Okay.
To everyone else, again, we'll be back again tomorrow right here at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. As always, thank you for listening and have a great night.
I just had to get out of Los Angeles, man.
Johnny left home to seek his fame. Small town boy, the streets of LA. A daytime waiter in a nighttime band, acting cool, said he was a real man. Couldn't write a song to save his soul. Ripped off an old tune, said it was his own. Lo and behold, in another few days, five-star dinner that the company pays. Johnny got a motor, Johnny got a guitar, Johnny got a room and a woman to pay. Johnny got a big part playing in a video, Johnny on the freeway. Yeah, let's go drink till the beer runs dry.
American life in the summertime.
I said, let's go drink till the beer runs dry.
American life in the summertime.
You know the girl you want is such a waste of time.
American life in the summertime.
Yeah. American life in the summertime. American life in the summertime got me. Got a rise at work today. She found the new sound.
Johnny on the freeway.
Virginity blown to minimum age. Busy doing nothing on another man's wages. Blonde hair, a mystic eyes. A bottle of pills and a little on the wild side. Saturday come and Saturday go. Hanging out backstage waiting for the show. Susie got a motor, Susie got a guitar, Susie got a room that the company pays. A company girl and a company slave. Susie on the freeway. Let's go drink till the beer runs dry.
American life in the summertime.
I said let's go drink till the beer runs dry.
American life in the summertime.
You know the girl you want is such a waste of time.
American life in the summertime.
Yeah. American life in the summertime. American life in the summertime.
My heart to see a nation cloned by someone else's poetry. They got their back snapped by 12-inch pressure, a financial bigotry. You know I still got pride in who I wanna be. I don't wanna be like them, I just wanna be me. A record company clone, not me. I'm still singing. Summertime, American life in the summertime, American life in the summertime, it's for me. Woo!
Let's go drink till the beer runs dry.
American
another girl you want is such a waste of time.
I'm having the life in the summertime.